Today is Thursday, October 24th. We're going to work on nerve impulse transmission. Okay, so why don't we start with a piece of an axon that is experiencing resting potential. So what do you know about resting potential? Sodiums are outside neurons, membrane, good. Potassiums are inside, good. I'll put a couple of sodiums that snuck in. Okay.
Positive on the outside of the membrane,
negative on the inside. And why do we have that imbalance? Majority of the ions are outside, right? That gives the outside a positive charge, and the inside is considered negative. Why is that? Pump is part of it, and compared to the number of ions out here, you have more or less inside. You got less inside. Good. Let's talk about that pump. You know, they called it a sodium potassium ATPase on that video. It's just another name for that sodium potassium pump. What is that pump doing during resting state? Keeping homeostasis, good. So in keeping a polarized setup, it's moving out how many sodiums?
Three.
Good, moving out three sodiums. And how many potassiums move in?
Two.
And why not move three and three, or two and two? Why move three out and two in?
Maintain the negative and positive.
Good. Maintain the negative state inside and the positive state on the outside. Good. So that pump is constantly working. It is maintaining the resting state, the polarized state of this neuron. So I'm just going to make a note that this is a polarized setup. And what we mean by polarized is we have an uneven distribution of ions. Where are the majority of our sodiums?
Outside.
Good. The potassiums make up what's inside, but there's just less of them. So, of course, the inside carries a negative charge. Is there anything else we should note during resting state? Let's add the charge.
The charge.
And what is the charge?
It's like negative 70 mV.
Yeah, negative 70 mV. So we've got negative 70 millivolts at rest. That about cover resting state? That feel good? Okay. Okay, so along comes the stimulus, and the stimulus oftentimes is a neurotransmitter. The neurotransmitter we've discussed at length is acetylcholine. So we're going to say that acetylcholine binds a specific type of channel. What type?
Sodium channel.
Sodium channel, good. Should it be a ligand gated or a voltage gated sodium?
Ligand
gated, yeah. Once acetylcholine binds a ligand-gated sodium channel, that sodium channel opens. What happens next?
Sodium rushes in.
Good. Sodium rushes in. All right. So we got a bunch of sodium ions. They take advantage of those open, ligand gated sodium channels. And of course, gotta have that acetylcholine bind to get that sodium channel to open. Okay, so once we start having sodiums flood in, we drop from negative 70 to negative 60. And once we hit negative 55, what happens?
Threshold.
Right, so you're all or none at this point. There is going to be an action potential conducted. And that excitement is going to open up another set of channels. What are they?
Voltage
gated. So all this excitement opens up these voltage gated channels. So we get, you know, this flood of sodium coming into the interior of the cell. And ultimately, once you hit threshold, so much sodium floods in, the inside environment turns what?
Positive.
Positive, good. All right, so we'll say the outside now becomes negative in comparison. That's because we have the majority of our ions on the inside of our membrane. Polarity reverses, right, good. So to depolarize simply means you let sodiums in, but to form an action potential, you have to pass that critical number of negative 55, yeah. So once you get enough sodiums in, you go from negative 55 all the way to about positive 30 millivolts. Okay, so negative 55 is threshold. And positive 30 is the full-blown effect of an action potential.
So it's like a cascade.
Yeah, literally a domino effect, yeah. Let's hit this from the top. When you depolarize, acetylcholine binds a ligand-gated sodium channel. That opens the door, or the gate, and sodium ions rush in. If you hit threshold, negative 55, that excitement opens up nearby voltage-gated sodium channels. And at negative 55, you're guaranteed what? Guaranteed an action potential, good. So you've got this massive influx of sodium ions, and they, of course, create further excitement down the length of this cell, and that is the conduction or propagation of the action potential. All right, so now you'll notice most of our sodiums are inside the cell. We've got a few that didn't make it in. They're still on the outside of that cell. And we have the potassium still in here. Well, the potassium say, boy, this place is crowded. We sure would like to leave. So these slow opening potassium channels will eventually open at the height of action potential, and those potassiums begin to leave. And if enough of them begin to leave, what happens to the internal charge of your cell? Yeah, they go back to the outside, or they don't go back, but they go outside, yeah, and the internal charge turns negative. We have a name for that when you turn from positive to negative, and you go really negive.
Hyperpolarization.
Yeah, good. Hyperpolarization can happen. I'm just going to use a number like negative 110 just to illustrate that we've gotten so negative we're beyond, we're further beyond that state of resting potential. Here, just because a cell depolarizes to negative 60 millivolts, does that guarantee anything's going to happen? No. So if you're negative 60, then that all-around principle says none for you, and you just sit there at rest. What cleans up and puts back that little bit of sodium that is leaked in?
Sodium.
Yeah, that pump will eventually clean everything back up to where it should be. All right, so The point I'm trying to make here is that depolarization doesn't guarantee action potential. It's only a guarantee if you hit threshold. All right, so let's clean this up with repolarization. Repolarization is the restore of resting potential. Okay, so right now during repolarization, we have sodiums on the inside, lots of sodiums on the inside. What was happening to our potassiums? They're leaving out. Good. All right. So if you've got those potassiums leaving out of the cell, if enough of them do leak out, then what happens to the charge inside of our cell? It goes back negative. So we're talking about that in the last step. Should involve negative charge on the inside, positive charge on the outside. We also should see our potassiums inside and a lot of sodiums on the outside. But when you look at our repolarization state down there, it looks like we've got the charge right. We at least have some type of negative charge on the inside, meaning less ions in there, and you've got a positive charge on the outside, meaning what?
More ions on the outside.
More ions are on the outside. So we've kind of got a setup that might look like it would work, but there's one real big problem. Where should your sodiums be during resting potential? And your potassium should be
inside.
And right now, because we're trying to clean this mess up, you'll notice that we've got a bunch of sodiums inside, and our potassiums were actually leaking out here to this interstitial space. So that's the final step that we need to fix to clean this whole mess. Put it back into a full-on resting state. So how do we clean this mess back up?
Use sodium potassium pump.
Yeah, use your sodium potassium pump. And we have to power that pump with ATP. How many of what do we move out?
Three
sodiums move out, two potassiums move back in. And like we saw earlier today, you can have thousands of those working simultaneously to pump those cells back to a resting state. It's a pretty efficient job. Now, as long as you're experiencing this resetting of the resting state, what do we say your cells are experiencing? Refractory period. Good. So as long as that pump is working, that cell is in a refractory period. All right, so ideally we're looking to set our resting state back to a polarized negative 70 millivolts. All right, so our goal here is to get back to a resting state of negative 70 millivolts. During refractory period, the cell cannot conduct another nerve impulse until we finish cleaning up the location of those ions. So that cell will just not respond to a stimulus if one happens to come along. So acetylcholine can sit there, and there's pumps saying, you know, hey, we're cleaning up the mess. You're going to have to wait till we get it done before anything's going to happen once again. It's kind of like flushing the toilet when it has already flushed, and it's still filling back up with water.
Yeah.
You can't really flush it again, so same kind of concept. Okay, how do you feel about this? That is, you're waiting for the pump to restore the sodiums and the potassiums back to their rightful locations. So you're waiting for the three sodiums to be pumped out, the two potassiums back in, and once that job is finished and you're back at around a negative 70, then you're good. Then you can fire another impulse.
Is that kind of why the trainers tell you to wait between sets of weightlifting?
Probably.
So let your muscles get back to normal before you go again.
Yeah, because if you're doing it so rapid fire fast, they're not having a chance to reset.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just break down muscle and not let it rest a second to be strong enough.
That's probably has something to do with it, yeah.
In the voltage gate, is the sodium the voltage
would be? Yeah, if once the acetylcholine binds a ligand-gated sodium channel, you start having some sodiums flood in. And if enough sodiums flood in that you reach threshold of negative 55, that creates this excitement inside your cell. And the excitement comes next door, and this voltage-gated channel will now open just simply due to the excitement. So no acetylcholine is necessary to bind to that voltage-gated channel. It just takes this influx of sodium to get you to threshold, and the excitement will open one after another voltage-gated channel down the length of that cell. Is that kind of what you're asking? Where else can I go back and help re-explain or target this stuff?
Is it called gradient? Where it's just like hanging out?
Yeah, if you've got... Let's say that this acetylcholine binds the ligand-gated channel, and maybe you're at negative 60 millivolts. You're not really at the threshold yet. There's a little excitement right there. That's gradient potential, yeah. And it may or may not become an action potential. It just depends on if it reaches that threshold boundary.
And voltage-gated, unless you hit threshold.
That's right.
They're just sitting there, and they get turned on.
That's right. Threshold says boom, open them up.
Yes. No.
And they all open like rapid fire down the length of that cell.
Now, do they close back after the excitement passes by them?
And the bulk,
or do they stay open?
They're actually, once the wave passes by them, it's the same domino effect that opened them is going to close them right back up. Unless acetylcholine stays there, right? Because as long as acetylcholine sits there, you're going to have this flood, yeah. But if acetylcholinesterase comes along and gets rid of acetylcholine, that gate will shut, that ligand-gated channel will shut, and then the excitement drops, and then the domino effect down the lamp, they'll close.
So it's like if the sodium shuts down, then those shut down too.
Exactly.
So the ligand-gated is where the acetylcholine actually binds.
That's
and,
right.
And the voltage is just the reaction from the threshold.
That's right.
But all this is going on in your little sodium potassium pumps are always running.
Always running. So this must be faster than
super
than the pump. And apparently not all the pumps are on at the same time, so I guess you can overwhelm them from this influx. Because there's not enough of them on. From what I understand, more of them cut on during this repolarization state.
But you said that he was about to have a breakdown of acetylcholine, which is like he stopped on cholic sodium channel, ACHE, something like that.
Yeah, if you have ACHE, that enzyme that recycles acetylcholine, if it comes along here, it'll remove the acetylcholine, it'll shut that ligand-gated channel.
And that comes from another impulse. It just says stop moving.
I want to say this, released into that synaptic cleft. It's not another nerve impulse that causes ACHE to be present. It's going to have to be somewhere in that interstitial fluid between the two cells. Yeah, so I think that's going to be out there anyway. And it recycles acetylcholine, and then by response, those voltage-gated channels will shut. How about other questions? Okay, so let's play with this right here for a minute. If we want to make a nerve impulse continue to flash like an action potential down the length of this cell, what do I have to do to this channel, this ligand-gated channel?
Stop
that keeps it open.
Keep it open. And how do I keep it open?
Acetylcholine binds with the sodium side.
Yeah. Let acetylcholine sit there and bind, right? So as long as acetylcholine there, it's like holding the elevator button with the door open. As long as that door is open, sodiums rush in. You maintain at least having that threshold. And what happens to the voltage gated channels? They stay open. So that continues to conduct that action potential down the length of this cell. Okay, so that's one thing we could do to maintain an action potential. What if we don't want one at all? We want to shut this whole process down.
ACH, the breakdown of acetylcholine. ACH.
Good. ACHE, which is the enzyme, breaks down acetylcholine. That recycles acetylcholine back up into the axon terminals. And what happens to your ligand-gated channels? They shut. And when no more sodium floods in through them, the sodium levels drop, and we don't reach. Bingo. And so what happens to those voltage-gated channels? They close. And all this time, that pump is working, right? So those sodium levels drop. You keep pumping them back out of that cell. So why might your body want to maintain a resting state? May not want to have muscle spasms. Maybe you don't have enough sodium. That could be an electrolyte imbalance could cause this to happen. Medically, we might want someone to not move. When might we want somebody to not move?
During surgery.
Yeah, surgery. So they know how to manipulate acetylcholine and acetylcholinesterase during surgery to paralyze these nerves from conducting any action potentials. And they can also do that at the muscle junction as well. So there's a couple of things you could do if you don't want this cell to conduct an action potential. What can you do to the amount of acetylcholine you're putting out here in the synaptic cleft?
If you don't want to have
If you don't want to have an action potential, you block it off. Yeah, you reduce the amount that comes out here, or you put a little blocker there. You know those safety blocks? It could be, yeah. And there's any blocker medicines, if there's a spot for acetylcholine, that medicine comes in and sits there.
It's
unavailable, exactly. So it's just like those safety plugs. If you've got kids, you don't want them sticking things in the electrical sockets. You put a blocker in there, and that keeps anything from going in your outlet. That's the same thing as blocker drugs here. They say, hey, acetylcholine, sorry, you know, you can't meet here. You can't bind to that receptor site. There's another way to do it, though. If you let acetylcholine be released, what can you still do to recycle and get rid of it? Use the enzyme, yeah. So you may let acetylcholine bind to its receptor site, but you can put a bunch of ACHE, yeah. And so that'll recycle whatever's present and get it off those receptor sites. So rat toxins, you know, rat poisons, they operate on this principle. They basically block acetylcholine from working on its nerve and muscle cells. So what happens to the animal that eats rat poison? It's paralyzed, right? So they can't breathe, they die. So a lot of medications work on the same principle of either stopping acetylcholine from binding in the first place or increasing the amount of ACH there is so you can recycle what's present. So when people come out of surgery, you know, they don't want them to stay paralyzed anymore so they can reverse those drugs and, you know, then you can move. Obviously, some people don't take well, right? Because some people are awake during surgery and they feel themselves, you know, paralyzed by those drugs. No names mentioned?
Nightmares.
That would be a nightmare. Yeah, there's been movies about that stuff, right? People know they're asleep, they know they're paralyzed, but yeah, that's what's happening is those blocker drugs are blocking.
That's like with a C-section, how they just block it from like the waist down. They still feel everything, but they feel mainly they like the same
thing. There's an inner spinal cord, there are sensory going up and there's motor going down, and if they block the sensory coming up, then you may feel some, but not a lot, but they don't necessarily want to block all the motor, so they may give you a light dose of one of those blockers so that you still have motor control of your legs and you have a little sensation, but not full on control.
Oh, it's like an epidural. I didn't feel my feet for 10 hours.
Oh, jeez.
It was awful. I hated that.
Yeah, that's awful to have that kind of numbness.
You can't. Oh.
But don't, whether it's C-section or whether it's epidural, they can basically manipulate that acetylcholine.
Yeah.
Or whatever neurotransmitter they're trying to lower.
If that's what being paralyzed feels like.
Yeah, that would be, that'd be unnerving. Yeah. Literally unnerving. No pun intended.
They
didn't want me to hurt, but no. I guess it, from what I understand, it has to be just the right amount.
And I was really sensitive to it, is what they told me.
Yeah, some people, like you say, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
Any part here I can help you with? What's your comfort level here?
It's much better.
Yeah, much better. And this feels good for chapter 10 too, right? Because this is a part of that same concept. Okay, the same part for chapter 10 is this sending a nerve impulse. Well, it's the same way you generate a nerve muscle contraction. Okay, so let's go back and hit those worksheets in your course pack. I believe that's page 99 through 101. So we're going to start up there with top of page 99. You've got resting potential, and you'll notice there's an action potential that's coming down a synapse or coming down to a synapse, and you'll notice that there are calcium channels that are opening. The first question says, what stimulates the opening of those calcium channels? What has to arrive in that axon terminal?
Yeah,
it's sodium. It's the action potential that's coming down the length of that cell. And that action, yeah, nerve impulse is going to open up those sodium channels. Good.
So what's that?
You could put arrival of nerve impulse. And the nerve impulse is technically sodium ions.
So this is what ions in an axon terminal. When the action potential arrives.
Wait a minute. Do I have a different version from you? Then you're right, calcium. Yeah, I must have got
a, it backwards.
Yeah, I must have updated it and not changed it. Let me pull your copy and see what you're looking at.
It's the same information.
I think I reworded it. Let's see if I can. Does the front page of your course pack say fall or January or some other year?
May.
Okay. Fall of 17?
Fall of
19. Then you're going to have the questions that I've got.
The new condition?
Yeah, some of you've got the current one. Some of you have my older one. Let me pull the older one too. And we are on 99, so let's go there. Miranda, do you have the same questions that they've got?
Mm-hmm.
You've got my questions? Okay, I'll hit both then.
So depending on when we print
it. Yeah. Okay, so if your first question is what stimulates the opening of calcium channels in the axon terminal, your answer is the action potential. And your second question on that same page for those folks may say, where are sodium potassium ions located during resting potential? Sodium's on the outside of your cell. Potassium's inside, good.
Sodium outside.
Yeah. Okay, so at rest, sodium is outside your cell, potassium is inside your cell. Okay, for those who have the different version, number one, what ions enter the axon terminal when a nerve impulse arrives? That's calcium. We have number two the same, and number three is the same. Where are your positive charges? On the outside, good. That's right, that's where your majority of ions are located. And your negative charge on the inside, that's because the lesser amount of ions are in there.
So it's not necessarily that the sodium is positive and the potassium is negative.
Correct. It's where the majority is.
It's relative, right?
It is relative, right. It's just the volume, where the volume of those ions are located. Yeah. I think our number four question is kind of a repeat. What ion must enter the axon terminal in order for vesicles of ACH to leave?
Calcium.
Ask calcium again. And we still have the same setup. We still have positive charged outside, still negative charged on the inside. We haven't changed the polarized state of that neuron yet. How about number six? Once ACH diffuses across the synaptic cleft, what does it bind? Good. And specifically, is it ligand-gated or voltage-gated? Ligand-gated. Good. So number six, we bind a ligand-gated, sodium channel. Ligand-gated sodium channel. Number seven, why do sodium channels open on that cell?
Allow sodium to enter and depolarize the cell.
Good. It's because we need sodium to enter. And that will depolarize our cell. So once ACH binds, those sodium channels open, sodium enters the cell, and that depolarizes our cell. So polarity means positive and negative charges. When we're letting sodiums come flooding in, what's happening to the negative charge inside your cell? Becomes more positive. Good. So number eight, the inside of the cell becomes more positive. Okay, so number eight, inside of the cell becomes more positive. Right, like to negative 60. Now we're going to hit negative 55 and keep on rolling. All right, so number nine there, we're going to flip the charges this time. The inside of your cell is now positively charged. Your negative symbols go outside your cell. Number 10 is a loaded question. Does depolarization guarantee an action potential? Lung, got to reach threshold, right? So it does not guarantee an action potential. If you do want to guarantee an action potential, you must reach threshold. Okay, so depolarization does not guarantee an action potential. To do so, you must reach threshold. If you flip on to 101 with me, number 11 says, what is the role of acetylcholinesterase, ACHE? Good. Recycles acetylcholine. And that's important too. Good. It prevents further muscle contractions or action potentials. Okay, Okay, so ACHE recycles acetylcholine. And importantly, it does prevent further muscle contractions or action potentials. Good, that's another way to put it. Counter-react the stimulus is good. Okay, number 12, what charge is inside your cell during action potential? Positive, good. And why is it positive? That's where the party is. That's where all your ions are, right? So majority are inside your cell. It's positive. And the charge outside the cell is negative. Good. That's because there are less, just simply less out there. So, you know, potassium says, hey, it's kind of crowded in here and we're going to take off and leave. So we open up potassium channels. They're slow to open. But once they start to leak out, what happens to the charge inside the cell? Yeah, becomes more negative, right? Yeah, so we remove the majority of those ions. We now put them outside. So we turn the inside negative. What does the sodium-potassium pump accomplish? Good. Removes three sodiums. Returns two potassiums back into your cell. So it removes three sodiums. Returns two potassiums. That helps us set up that resting state. That would work too, yeah. So getting you back to homeostasis, that would work too. And homeostasis is the resting state. That's where you've got the internal charge negative, outside charge positive. And related to this pump working is number 15. What is the refractory period? Good. Pump is working, cannot conduct another action potential. Okay, while that pump is working, you cannot conduct another action potential. Okay, so while that pump is working, you cannot conduct another action potential. I should mention that this test runs from page 72 to page 103, 72 to 103. This is the hardest stuff we cover this semester, so if you're feeling pretty good about it, then I feel good for you too, because if you can make it through this, the rest of the semester is not this physiology. It's more anatomy, and just nowhere near this level of how things work. All right, so I'd like to turn the floor over to you all. What do you need to hear again, or what questions do you have for Tuesday's test? There's a little bit on articulations, but I would not put all of my efforts in that chapter. I'd put my efforts in 10 and 11. Anything that promotes excess acetylcholine is going to keep those channels open, and so that means muscles stay in what they call fused tetanus. They stay completely contracted because they're getting that nerve impulse that says contract constantly, And unless you can get rid of that acetylcholine from those ligand-gated channels, those cells stay in a contractive state. In a way, it's just instead of being able to move, you're locked up with contraction. So it's kind of like, I would say it's the opposite end of it. Yeah. Yeah. Sure, we can go back over that. I had a request to go back over the board, so if you want, we can run back through that one more time. Okay?
We're going to have to know these, this stimulus versus tension, like the pitch and the trepidation.
Be able to identify the picture and be able to explain what will increase tension, and the what will increase tension is two things on page 88. Near the top, it says graded response. You can either increase the frequency of the muscle being stimulated or the number of muscles being stimulated. So that's one thing you'll want to know. And then you'll want to be able to identify the picture on page 89. You know, which one is twitch, which one is complete tetanus. That's right. And basically the excitation part that goes with muscle contraction is that depolarization step. Okay, so let's hit this on the board. Okay, so resting potential could go for muscles, it could also go, of course, for nerves. And to be at rest means we have a polarized state where we have a negative charge inside and a positive charge outside. Why do we say that we have negative and positive, even though we're dealing with these cations? Good. More ions outside means positive charge. Less ions inside means negative charge. The most common type of ion outside is what?
Sodium.
And common type inside?
Potassium.
Potassium, good. So our resting state, we say, is around a negative 70 millivolts. That means that we're not conducting an action potential. We say this is a polarized cell because we have this, you know, unequal setup where we've got a lot of charges outside and a few on the inside. All it takes is for something like a stimulus, and this is kind of the story that went along with excitation. A stimulus could be acetylcholine, and acetylcholine will bind a certain type of sodium channel called what?
Ligand-gated,
good. When that ligand-gated sodium channel opens, sodium rushes into your cell, and if you reach what?
Threshold.
You will now conduct action potential. And what happens to nearby voltage-gated sodium channels? They open. So it's kind of like a domino effect. As these voltage-gated channels open, there are going to be ones further down the line that open. When they open, further ones open, it just goes like rapid fire down the length of your cell. So once you hit negative 55, it's all or none. This cell is going to produce a what? Going to produce an action. So what happens to your charge during this influx of sodiums? Becomes more positive, good. And so at the height of an action potential, we may get as positive, around, you know, positive 30 millivolts there. Okay, so at the height of action potential, as we're flooding these sodium ions in, these slow opening potassium channels will eventually open. And what happens to the potassiums that were on the inside? They leave, they go out. And if enough of them go out, we shift the majority from the inside of your cell to the outside. Becomes more negative inside. And we call this setup a hyperpolarization. I just picked a number here. As long as it's more negative than negative 70, you've got a hyperpolarized cell. So 110 seems to make the case that we've got a really negative charge on the inside. Okay? So potassiums are leaking out. They're outside your cell, and sodiums are now stuck on the inside. A wave of action potential has passed by, and following behind is a wave of cleanup. We call this wave repolarization. So when the sodiums are stuck in here and the potassium's leaked out, we actually flip the charge back like it should be. Negative inside, positive outside. But we've got a problem. Is everything set up like it's supposed to be? The sodium's on the outside and your potassium should be on the inside, but they're in opposite locations. So how do we flip them back to their proper locations? Turn on that pump. In fact, turn on more pumps to get this mess cleaned up. How many sodiums must we move out of your cell? And potassium's back in?
Two.
And as long as that pump is cleaning out this, rearranging this mess, you are in a period known as refractory period. Good. All right, so our goal is to get back to a polarized state, negative 70 millivolts. Until you clean up the locations of these ions and your polarized state's back to a negative 70, you're really not going to conduct another nerve impulse. Let me put it to you this way. If you're at negative 110, where's threshold for you? Negative 55. If you're at negative 70, negative 55 is closer, right? So if you're hyperpolarized, there's very little chance that you're going to conduct an impulse because you're so far away from that threshold value. So that's part of getting this problem fixed, is getting you set up for your kind of fear trigger. You're right there sitting next to your threshold so you can reach it if need be. Okay. Making a little better sense?
What's the difference between PSD and IPSD?
Okay. So EPSPs open up sodium channels, and we let sodium come in and we produce a wave of action potential. IPSPs don't even favor these sodium channels. Instead, they favor open up potassium channels.
So the IPSP opens the sodium, and EPSP, or the IPSP opens potassium, and EPSP opens sodium.
Yes. EPSP depolarizes, IPSP hyperpolarizes. Won't do it at the same time. It does it on different competing types of cells in the body.
EPSP opens potassium. And I open potassium.
Yeah.
Okay.
IPSP opens potassium, EP opens sodium.
ESPN,
that's good.
For Sunday football.
That's good.
Depolarization. ESPSP is depolarization.
That's right.
ESP is hyperpolarization.
Yeah. EPSP is depolarization. And IPSP. Potassium. ESPN, that's a good way to do it. Okay.
It's talking about the dendritic breaks and synapses and axons. And some cells are sending IPSP and some are sending the EPSP.
Right.
So it's kind of like, which one gets the most of it?
It is. And there may be competing, we haven't talked about other neurotransmitters yet, but it depends on what neurotransmitters there and which, like you say, the majority of ion channels are going to be the ones opened.
Okay.
Yeah. We have not talked about parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems yet, but that's ultimately where that's going.
Because we can override things, think about our breathing, right?
Like, right. Exactly right. So what normally may be at rest, we can force into action. It's harder for us to force rest when there's action involved, but there is some conscious override of that, of like breathing. Very little conscious override of heart rate, but we can do it through, you know,
controlling other things.
Yes. Yeah, bringing our stress levels down. So
I'm trying to think of what that meant. Breathing was on there.
Breathing's good. It's more about this battle between neurotransmitters and how we get those ion channels to operate. Because the heart, if you're stressed, you will have epinephrine bind receptors, and that speeds the heart rate. But if you're consciously trying to breathe and slow yourself, acetylcholine will actually slow the heart rate. So it depends on if you can consciously get your heart rate slow enough to negate that. We got 10 minutes. Y'all good? You got any other questions?
I'm going to go to the next one.